This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge. You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Candy View. It's all about your financials and your financial options. And it's my pleasure, as always, to have in the hot seat in the studio Nick Stewart from the Stewart Group right here in Hastings. How are you going, Nick?
Good, thank you. Great to be back with you again.
Now, we've got some great topics to talk about today. First of all, we're going to talk about bricks and mortar. But before we get there, just remind our listeners, Candy View or Stewart Group, what are you all about?
We're all things financial planning, investment, risk management, insurance, pensions, KiwiSaver. Just helping people make smart decisions with their money.
And being doing it for 37 years.
Indeed. Yeah, a long time now.
It's a long haul, isn't
it? Yeah, we've seen a few things in this current recession we're in. We've had 2 quarters of negative growth, and dare I say it, but I think we're currently in the 3rd quarter of negative GDP growth. So I've seen a few of these in my time, and that's why recently a lot of the articles we've been writing and the things we're going to talk about today are very much on point.
Now, we often talked about over the years that we've been doing this program, 7-year cycles. Are these recessions part of that 7-year cycle, or are they getting closer together?
Not necessarily, because we've had periods where we've had big runs that are longer than 7 years. You've had amazing periods like in the 1990s. We had periods that were longer than that, uninterrupted growth. And then you have periods where you have, you stub your toe and your knee bloody 2 times in a couple of years. Like, if you think of it, we had the tech crash of 2000. We then had 9/11, shortly thereafter. So we had 2 thumps in 2 consecutive years. Mm. We then had an amazing period of uninterrupted growth through to the global financial crisis. Markets then bounced away again. And then here we are again now. So
we're going to talk about bricks and mortar first up. And over the years, particularly since I've been around, is that, the dream was to have a rental. So, mum and dad had their own house and thought, I've got to have a rental because I can see it, I can touch it, I can feel it, and it's almost a guaranteed return on your investment. But not so much these days. But tell us about bricks and mortar.
Well, bricks and mortar in New Zealand and our cousins across the ditch and then across the bigger ocean back to the old country, a lot of people, enjoyed having an exposure to residential housing outside their own home. Mm. They enjoyed being, a weekend landlord.
Yes, indeed.
But many have actually found that it's actually quite difficult. It's an illiquid asset. So in other words, you can't just easily draw down on your investment in your property. For example, we've got some very, very complicated lending laws that are proposed to be gently unwound shortly. That's what's called the triple CFA. Mm-hmm. So it means that for those that want to, let's say you've got something comes up and you need to take $25,000 to upgrade your car. And you approach the bank and it turns out that, it'd be easier to move a mountain than it is to draw down or borrow an additional $25,000 against your rental. So, and that's where I'm saying it is illiquid. Yeah. Many people have also found that, there are rules and regulations around being a landlord. The playing field was tilted very much in favour of the tenant. And a lot of landlords say, this is just too hard. I'm providing someone a roof over their head, and yet I'm the deemed bad guy.
Yeah.
So some people don't enjoy that particular playing field. The other aspect is they also don't enjoy the evening and weekend calls for a leaking hot cinder cupboard, a leaking tap, a door that won't close, a lock that is jammed, neighbours complaining that there's a rowdy party going on, the person's not supposed to have pets, but they've got a couple of bulldogs in the backyard. You name it, it goes on and on and on.
Yes,
and
it does.
And then now, and this will flow through to a couple of articles that we're going to talk about today around, say, inflation, a lot of people are receiving some whopping notices for proposed increases in rates, both their regional rates, their municipal district rates, the insurance has gone up by between 20 and 30%. And people go, you know what? This is just really, really hard, and I actually need a little bit more liquidity. And I kind of look at my diversified portfolio, and it's liquid in 5 working days. It's performing really well, and it's diversified away from New Zealand. That, again, as I just said, we are in recession.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Well, let's wind the clock back a bit further. We always talked about that housing bubble, how great it has been for years and years and years, and that one day it was going to burst. Were the rules around the amount you had to have as a deposit the catalyst for this?
Well, six and one, half dozen the other. The reason I say that is that you can make it really, really hard for Kiwis,
mm-hmm.
but then if you open the floodgates and allow migration to soar as we've done, you know, what is it, last year we had 115,000 yeah. net migrants. Well, you only need 10,000 of that 115,000 to turn up with cash.
Mm.
Doesn't matter what yeah, you do for sure. with the mortgage or, you know, the availability to get debt. If the people turn up with cash, then they just ride right over that because they turn up as a cash buyer.
Yeah.
So there are so many ways that you can move the housing market. But the underlying fact is we don't produce enough houses. B, they're very, very expensive to build. There's a huge amount of red tape. Whilst we have a lot of land as a nation, I know we're a couple of islands that aren't that big, but we also have only, yeah. you know, what, 5.5 or 5.4 million people that live on them.
Yeah, we're not land poor, are we?
No, we are not. And yet it's very, very difficult to get land. It's darned expensive, which is what the folks like at, you know, Dave Seymour talks about. He said, well, let's we've got plenty of land.
Yeah.
Let's allow people to, let's allow them to have a home on a piece of dirt.
Okay, well, you've made bricks and mortar sound like doom and gloom, but there must be some good side to it.
Well, it's a home.
Yes.
And everyone needs a home, a
yep.
nice, warm, dry home in this beautiful country we live in.
Mm.
We are a lucky country. Look, Australia.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, they stole Pavlova. I'm going to steal lucky country. I reckon we're the lucky country.
We are lucky compared to
Just at the moment, there's a bit of shade on us at the present time.
Yes.
We will come into the sun again, and we will have positive GDP growth. But I just think, you know, housing's had such an amazing run for a very, very long period of time. But it has grown faster than our economy, so it means that for Kiwis who live here, who don't bring money from overseas, they're not new migrants with a whole wallet full of cash, the average Kiwi that lives here is paying a huge amount of money as a percentage of or represented ratio of their salary. So it means that, look, a lot of Kiwis that get on the housing ladder feel very, very poor.
Sure.
They're very cash flow constrained.
Is New Zealand, in your opinion, going to be a bit like England and places in Europe where you just won't be able to own a house, that you'll be a forever renter?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it just comes along, you know, how do you want to allocate your capital? Do you want to allocate your capital into stocks and bonds and have liquidity and the ability to move and change at a whim in terms of where you live? Or do you want to put your roots down and own a home and be settled with the mortgage and the obligations that come with that? There are some people who are going to say, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to live in Hastings for the next 15, 30 years. They may say, I want to explore other places in New Zealand.
There's a drawback of that philosophy, though, that less houses get built because no one wants to have the being saddled with their debt.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that will be the case, and that's where some proponents are very much in favour that we bolster up again the landlord market.
Mm-hmm.
We make it more attractive and easier for people to become a landlord, whereas we've had a net decline in those people.
Yeah, and that could be the case coming up soon because we're looking at mortgage arrears. They're on an increase.
Yes.
Is that the possibility that there'll be more mortgagee sales? So there might be – well, it's becoming a buyer's market, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, there are definitely more. There are noticeably more properties for sale. And when we enter periods of fiscal strain, such as a recession, and if we have a prolonged recession, which will be, you know, many people are saying that is the feeling, that is the vibe at the current time. But you'll always find someone on the other side who'll argue the other way.
That's
but
right.
But whenever we have a recession. We are in a recession now, technical recession. There are always more mortgagee sales. That's just fact.
Okay.
If you shrink the economy, there has to be some suffering somewhere. for that to have occurred.
Okay, give us your three pros and your three cons about bricks and mortar as an investment, purely as an investment on their own.
Okay, so the pros. The pros are you can see it.
Yeah.
The pros are you could have a meaningful relationship with your tenant. There are some people that really do, you know, they have a family that becomes a tenant of their property and it's a long-term arrangement and they look after those people and they become, you know, pretty much kin. I've got clients that have amazing relationships with their tenants that go back a long way. And that's awesome. Yeah. And often they actually end up often selling the property at a later date to the family. I've seen a couple of those. That's a beautiful story. So we've covered off two. The other aspect is that historically you've been able to get a lot of leverage. So in other words, for a small amount of money down, you can have a large exposure. Whereas you can't do that with, say, most people can't do that with stocks and bonds.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And the cons?
The cons at the moment, you've got, you know, a lot of red tape. It's much more difficult to be a landlord. You've got some very restrictive regulation around borrowing, about, you know, seeking, you know, getting a mortgage and the ratios and requirements that come with that. The other thing, you've got a much higher cost of capital. So it means people require a greater rate of return from the asset, which means if the return from that asset in terms of the cash flow and the expected capital growth if it's fixed, for example, let me dull it down. So if a person's going to pay you $100 in rent and you can go out and in the market you can put money in the bank at 5%, then you're going to want a greater return from that residential rental property than 5% of the bank because you're taking much higher risk.
Yeah.
So at the present time, you've got it where as the OCR and those like term deposit cash rates available at the bank have been going up significantly off a very, very low base, it means people's appetite to go in and buy a risky asset, they go, I need a much higher return off the risky asset now than I did in the past. So what's been happening is the capitalization rates have been rising, so the rates of return that people need to go into these higher risk investments, because a residential rental property is a higher risk than a term deposit, people expect a greater rate of return. So if you and I have gone in and bought that residential rental with a yield of 6%, well, people now want a higher return than 6%, which means, sadly, the value of that asset, if the income has been the same, the asset value will decline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking about that's residential property. The real pointy end where that's been fiercely seen of late has been in the commercial and industrial property sector, because capitalization or cap rates have increased quite a lot over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So many investors, the rental flow from the tenant's still coming in, no problem. Everything's washing its face perfectly. The building's still there. It is the same building. The tenant is the same. Same person, etc. Hypothetically, the lease profile has shrunk a bit because you had like a 10-year lease and you're 2 years in, you've got 8 years left to run, etc. But all things being even, nothing's changed other than the price of risk, and therefore the capitalization rate has increased. Therefore, the value of the property to the new buyer has dropped.
Yeah.
And many people really struggle to understand that.
Which brings us back to that old golden nugget that we talk about every time we meet, and that is diversification. You can't beat it.
No, you can't beat it. And at the moment, where we've got these vast differences of return between what's happening in God's own New Zealand, Aotearoa, versus overseas, are so stark.
Yeah.
It is massive. So the New Zealand Stock Exchange, over the last 4 years, one quarter, has done, in essence, a 0% return.
Mm.
Okay? Nothing. Zip. Nada. The United States, S&P 500 index, top US 500 companies, is up 55% over the same time period. The reason I'm stressing that is that it's very rare that we see one of our largest trading partners decouple from what we do so vastly over a short period of time.
So why is that?
Because we are a very narrow economy.
Mm.
We have a very narrow industry set. We're very good in those industry sets. Mm-hmm. Those industry sets at the moment are not doing very well. No. Whereas the United States has a much broader exposure to a massive number of sectors that we don't have. We don't have a pharmaceuticals industry here that's listed that you and I can buy. Mm. We don't have munitions, armaments, aeroplanes, motor vehicles. We don't have that particular sector. And the big one in the United States, technology.
Yeah.
The tech sector is vast, and that has propelled the S&P 500, or a huge component of the lifting of that 55% return has been through technology.
Having said that, though, my wife and I were just having a bit of a chinwag about it last week, and we're surprised at just how well KiwiSaver has been holding up.
Diversification, my
yes.
friend.
That's what
and
it's
don't,
all about.
You know it.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's incredibly well diversified. Hey, but imagine if we had a very, very narrow KiwiSaver and we were just exposed to New Zealand.
Yeah.
The return would be woeful. You wouldn't be sitting here. I mean, you'd have a grimace on your face. You'd be smiling at me through your teeth. Like there's a famous quote from the food critic in The Guardian, Jay Rayner. He's just brilliant. I remember reading his book, and he said he sat down, and this lady obviously was enjoying her company and didn't obviously want to have Jay sitting next to sitting next to her. Mm-hmm. And he said, this lady smiled at me as though she was chewing wasps.
Yeah.
I've never forgotten that.
I was just having a chat with my daughter, and she's got quite a bit of money in KiwiSaver, and she wouldn't mind getting hold of some of that money. We're just sort of scung off it at a bit of a tangent.
Okay.
But you've got an option to do that.
Yep. There are a couple of ways to get funds from KiwiSaver. It's very, very restricted, which is great. You know, KiwiSaver it's been built in a very sound fashion. We learned mm-hmm. after watching other people build the equivalent KiwiSavers in their own jurisdictions and make mistakes. So we knew how to do it. You know, sometimes being last to the table,
yeah,
there can be benefits in that.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the way that people can get their capital out is the first is they buy their first home. There's also a thing called a second chance. This is where, let's say, some people are unfortunate to go through a divorce and a separation, and they need a home.
Mm.
So they are able, even though they've had a home in the past, they've already first home, there's a second chance where they can draw down on their KiwiSaver to rehome themselves and their family. The other one is a hardship claim. A hardship claim is a very prescriptive process that needs to be signed off by the independent trustee.
Yep.
A lot of people think that it'll be very, very easy. It is not.
Well, it's ridiculous. Now,
hardship, and I'd say it's kind of almost severe hardship. You know, it's not that you can't afford to have your nails done and you can't afford to buy your favorite shampoo. No, this is you have – there are no cash reserves left. You've tried every other avenue, and you have to prove your case. The other is you turn 65, and of course, the final one is that you
dead.
You pass away. Yes,
but your option is ACI, isn't it?
Yeah, well, ACI. When someone reaches the age of 65, we encourage them that they should look to their estate planning. Now, the reason why we haven't actually written an article on this, it's coming up. Our good friend in the office, Bruce, is going to cover this one. He's a master at estate planning. Very, very good. And anyway, the crux of it is that when someone hits age 65 and they're able to get their funds out of KiwiSaver, they should, if they're married or they have a de facto partner, they should really hold the asset jointly. Mm-hmm. Because if it's held on your own name and you pass away, the funds don't automatically transfer to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When people pass away, a few pennies from heaven are very, very important because, you know what, there's a lot of disruption. There are some bills to pay. So a lot of people would prefer not to wait and go through the probate process and wait for the funds to be released. So you can imagine that for the remainderment, if the asset is held jointly and one of the parties passes away, then the assets automatically are in the hands and available for the other party to use. And you don't have to go through that legal process.
Yes.
So we encourage people to get a lot of their estate planning tidy at age 65 when they're able to withdraw the funds that we're saying they should be commingled as joint assets. And what we've done, we've built a vehicle for that that yes. purpose with the ACI fund. So it looks very, very similar to our KiwiSaver strategies from root to stem, built exactly the same, but it is not locked into the KiwiSaver regime and can be held jointly or held by a trust, by a partnership, by a company. So just it allows those extra tools for estate planning. And, Ken, you know, when you hit 65, you know, you're closer to meeting God than when God brought you onto the earth. So
that's right. Mm. Now, you mentioned that word trust. We were going to talk about the new tax laws coming of a trust, but we've only about 4 minutes.
Okay.
But you've got a quote that you want to have talks about.
I was just going to say, and it was an article we wrote recently, which is called Who's on the Hook? And boy, oh boy, have I had some people that have written to me about this one. Like, and it's who's on the hook because I really wanted to focus on what our domestic regional inflation is. Because everyone talks about CPI, and that is inflation, the measurement of inflation. And I just thought the article I was talking about was showing some of the proposed rate increases that are coming through. So, you know, at the moment, it's in consultation period or consultation for all three councils, regional, Napier, Hastings, and also CHB, and Wairoa as well. But I'm just going to focus on Hastings and regional. So it's proposed that there will be a 25% increase this year in the Hastings rates, but followed by the following year, 15%. The following year after that, 10%. Regional council this year, 19.6%. Then 18.1%. Then 9%. Napier is very, very similar. They are all the same. When I'm telling you these numbers this year, they all start with a 2.
Mm, I know.
Like 20, not 2, yeah. 20. So when you think that the Reserve Bank of New Zealand has a mandate that they strive to achieve a midpoint of CPI or inflation of 2%, and we have regional, municipal rate increases that are 10 times as large as the RBNZ, the Reserve Bank's target, we have some serious domestic inflation, which means we will have higher mortgage rates for longer. You cannot expect people to pay 20% increases in costs. And also, insurers are the same. Many of the costs that you and I cannot avoid are going up by these type of quantums. They are vast. And whenever you see these come through, they have an impact.
There's a problem there, though, that over the last 20, 30, 50 years that the councils have been underrating. Now they're trying to catch up.
There's a potential of that, but the other thing is perhaps they need to shrink the amount of services that they provide to the community. Mm. Maybe there's been a mission creep. These numbers are vast.
Yeah,
like I can appreciate that we need a catch up, but this is Herculean. This is these numbers are vast. And there are some people who will just be, some people will not be able to pay. And just my last comment is that, and I was talking about property and the fact that, you know, everyone when they go to the bank and they're given, the bank says, oh, you can borrow $500,000 and you've got a $200,000 deposit, so it's $700,000. Everyone always goes, they borrow the maximum they can because that is the way that many people have accumulated wealth. They stretch themselves as far as they humanly can, or their balance sheet and fiscal prudence will allow. They go to the maximum. If you have gone to the maximum and you now have a 30% increase in your insurance, a 25% increase in your local rates, and your regional rates are going up by 20%, wow.
You're in trouble.
Have no fiscal elasticity to handle that. Mm. And that is why at the moment you're seeing last year, on the numbers that I've recently seen, 8% of people have not renewed their home and contents insurance.
Mm. Wow.
And the numbers are growing.
Mm.
So that means that so what I've been saying to people is that always remember, just because the bank or whoever tells you says you can go to this level, always pull back a bit because you never know what's going to happen. Like a year ago, if you'd said to me, Nick, all the local rates are going to go up starting with a 20, I would have said to you, no chance. And yes. The 20% this year, 50% on average over 3 years, I would have said to you, no way. But you can see why. Anyone that's pushed themselves really, really hard will be like, boy, I hope I'm not made redundant.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that's the world we're currently living in. Yeah, and they're very, very difficult costs to avoid.
If we need any financial advice, Nick, where do we get it?
You get it at 204 Katamu Road in Hastings. That's the black basalt stone building with the tartan logo. Or you can come and see us on the terrace in Wellington. We like having a chat with lots of different people on lots of different topics. And there are not many things that, in terms of finance and financial planning, that we can't solve or find someone that can help a client where we can crack the nut.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.